Fallout 4 killed my TV.
May it rest in peace.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
Only four sleeps till Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
The trailer apocalypse is upon us. We get sucker punched by Iron Fist.
All right.
And more.
Oh, man. This has been a crazy, crazy week for trailers. We talked about it last week. You know, we had all these trailers like rated, scheduled, ready to go. And we knew there was only a certain amount of time for the Star Wars movie was going to come. So they all had to get them out. I mean, I think this is the first time in a long time I've seen a trailer premiere on a Sunday. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Especially, I think it's been all over the place this week. I think we kind of were like, you know, something's going to happen on Friday before the movie's release. And what do you know? I think Thursday was it. We had Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. And then earlier in the week, what day did we get the Turtles?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but I think that was the day before, I think.
Yeah, we got so much going on.
Yeah, this is a big week. It's a crazy month. If you like the stuff we talk about in this podcast, this is a good month for you.
Yes, it is. It's a good month for us too.
Yeah, but it sounds like, you know, I'm worried. It sounds like you're having some stressful time over at your place, and this worries me because I don't want you to bring the stress and baggage into Star Wars later this week. So why don't you let it all out, get it all out of your system so we can move on.
Well, you're not wrong there. So I bought Fallout 4 a couple weeks ago. It was a buy three, get one free, or buy two, get one free sale. And
yeah, I remember.
I'll play it.
Yeah.
So I'm at a part where I'm doing side missions, right? Because I want to get stronger before I venture out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at a point where no matter if I can only go three cardinal directions and each one is a stronger enemy than before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just irritating me. So I was dying left and right. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll stop, walk away, come back, refresh. Did that, turned on Fallout 4. My TV went pop. And it's broken.
Oh, no. What kind of TV? What size are we talking here? What age?
It's a 50-inch Vizio.
Okay.
13 months old.
Ooh, so I think, I don't want to say you should expect that, but I mean, with the Vizio, you're always kind of taking a bit of a gamble, I would say.
Well, I would have said the same thing not 12 hours ago, but all the other Vizio TVs I've ever had, even the same model, 50-inch, still working.
Yeah, I guess you really never know. I mean, I have an older, like, 32-inch TV from years ago. It's like an Element TV. Uh-huh. I've never heard of them, but I think they're specifically sold maybe by Walmart and like other like maybe low-end retailers. So it's kind of like a Walmart TV, kind of like Vizio is. Yeah, and it's been holding on. So I guess I shouldn't be so quick to judge, but it does sound like that sounds like an awful noise to hear.
Yeah, so it was pretty devastating, and thankfully it was right before I went to my parents' house, so I just kind of left it, and it still hadn't worked, so I worked out some deals on like Best Buy stuff, and I think I'm gonna get a 60-inch one for under $1,000.
Ooh, it's 4K.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're taking this opportunity to really upgrade.
Yeah, I worked out a lot of deals to get it under.
Yeah, because it's pretty crazy. Because when you said 60-inch, I was expecting you to maybe say around like $600, $700. Because TVs are so much cheaper now, but you're going for the 4K, so you're going all out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, if you look at, there's a 4K 55-inch with curved screens that are like $600.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I learned a lot about TVs the past couple days.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to, I mean, obviously I got this awesome TV from my wife last year for the holidays. But I think I can easily hold out until we get those crazy super thin TVs that'll probably be sold in poster tubes in the future.
Yeah,
that can roll up. They're like flexible screens, so they're super cool.
It'd be so awesome. So I mean, my fiance's picking it up for me right now at Best Buy to bring it back home, the new one. So I'm
wait,
excited.
Wait. Your fiance, who is like this tiny little woman, is gonna carry a 60-inch TV back from the store by herself?
well, she's going to load it up in her car, and I'm going to get it out after the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, I can only imagine that would be very difficult for her by herself.
Yeah, so she's got a car with fold-down seats now, so it all works out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so new cars, new TV, everything expensive is breaking on us here, and that's really fun. So
yeah.
But on the other end of the news, I want to talk about our trailer that we released.
Oh, yeah, we put ourselves together a little commercial so we can up the hype of the show, and I think this is the perfect time with Star Wars coming out.
Yes, so we definitely recorded our own commercial last week, and we got it edited down. It's a video you can watch on YouTube or Facebook, and I think it's funny.
Yeah,
we had a good time.
Yeah, we had a good time writing it and performing it. I don't think we're I wouldn't say we're naturals, but with your editing ability, you can make us sound like we know what we're doing.
Yeah, it was definitely fun, and I even wrote the captions for that, so you guys can read along if you want to.
I mean, we're getting serious. We're getting into what they call the sophomore year of podcasting. We're getting into the second year. We're about to do 50 episodes. I don't know if anybody else notices, because I have a feeling a lot of people that listen to the podcast never visit the website, but if you do, we just put up a brand new theme up there on our site, so it's looking all nice and fancy. We got a commercial going on.
I just want to talk about this brand new theme that you built from the ground up.
This is the perks when you listen to a podcast where one of the hosts is a professional web designer, that we don't have to go out and like beg someone to do a website for us, or we don't have to spend money on like a theme. I just live in front of my computer for like a few days, and I just never leave it, and then I finish it.
Yeah, so I mean, that's totally. I mean, it comes from me from the video side. So you guys are very lucky. You have us, is what we're saying.
Yeah,
here.
Two people with the same love, coming under the same umbrella, talking about stuff, making stuff. It's gonna be a crazy month. We're just a couple days away from Star Wars. I just can't concentrate about anything.
It's really we're glad we got it done now, because otherwise we wouldn't get it done.
Yeah, exactly.
The moral.
Yeah, I think all we're saying is the end of the year 2016. It's gonna be a crazy time for this show. So I think it's gonna be fun.
Yes. So go check out our new website and our commercial, and let us know how it goes. So. I guess we just jump into the news, man. I mean, there's no better time to.
We got to do it. I mean, when you get three trailers in a week, plus I'm sure we want to hype ourselves up about our favorite movie coming out this year. We got to get started. We got to get going.
Yes. So let's just jump into it then. Star Wars.
Whoa! Star Wars!
The Star Wars battle cry, my friends.
I guess a little bit of news.
The PSA is releases on the 17th in America.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews release this Wednesday, so watch out.
Yeah, you know, I heard some things out there that the theater employees aren't able to screen the movie in advance. So they basically want people to know that when you're walking out of the theater, keep your mouth shut and don't spoil anything.
Yeah. I mean, I trust our listeners to be cool and not spoil anything for anybody.
You know, if I had a career or a job at a movie theater, I think I would just be like, nope, I'm not working that day. If you got to fire me, that's fine. Star Wars is worth it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, honestly, I think no one here is going to ruin it. I'm not going to ruin it. We're going to have our own spoiler cast on next week to talk about this movie. I'm really excited for that, honestly. But also, there's no end credits. Don't stay long.
Yeah. But I think just out of habit, I'll just probably stay in the seat just because I'll be quivering.
Yes. Also, there is no Jar Jar Binks or Ewoks.
Yeah, I wasn't too concerned about any of that. I'm pretty sure J.J. Abrams would be a fool to try to put any of that in there.
Oh, I definitely agree. I don't think he would. I don't think, you know, Disney would, but that was a lot of speculation, and they just kind of said no early on. Something else I want to talk about Star Wars. I mean, Four Sleeps Till Star Wars. We're excited. You know, send us your pictures like on Twitter or whatever. Let us know where your seats are in the theater. But Star Wars Underworld, the live action TV series, it's been kind of scripts have been written for it, but nothing's been happened for it. May be revisited by Disney depending on how many billions of dollars Star Wars makes.
Now, is this the little tidbit of news that we may have talked about earlier in the summer with Star Wars and Netflix?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Underworld has been in talks since the original Clone Wars cartoon show came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said they wrote about 50 or 60 scripts, honestly.
Oh, jeez.
But never did anything with it, because I mean, it's going to be expensive to make a Star Wars show.
Mm-hmm.
But they are talking about returning to this, and maybe it comes up on Netflix. What do you think?
I mean, I can't turn down more Star Wars. It's just it kind of makes sense. I mean, these shows are really great at giving you more, but also kind of uplifting and supporting the franchise. So I mean, it's working out with S.H.I.E.L.D. I guess as long as we don't have as much of a disastrous rollout as we did with S.H.I.E.L.D., I think that would be good. But it'd be kind of interesting to see what we do with it. You know, when I think of TV shows, the budget always crops up in my head, especially when it comes to fantastical science fiction type things. You know, force pushes, I guess, aren't too hard to put in. You know, you strap a wire to someone and pull them across the screen. But I mean, like, are there going to be like, oh, you can only show lightsabers 3 times during an episode because we don't have the budget to put them in there like all the time?
Well, I would think, I mean, you look at shows like The Flash, I mean, mm-hmm. made by the CW, they have so many effects in there to, you know, bring Gorilla Grodd to life and such.
Exactly. They've been doing a really good job over there recently. So,
but at the same time, Star Wars Underworld, I don't think mystical Jedis are going to show up in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be more like the rogues and the bounty hunters and
the seedy underbelly.
Yeah, a lot of cantina music.
Yeah, I think I would like that. I would love to see the lore of Star Wars expanded, because I'm not the type that has, you know, read much of the novels. I've come across a couple of the comic books.
They don't matter anymore.
Yeah, I know, but they still expand the universe and give you a broader scope of what could be there. But I've stuck myself to the movies. Some of the animated TV stuff.
The Christmas special, of course. I know it's your favorite.
believe it or not, I actually have never seen the Christmas special.
Well, one time when I worked in Indianapolis, everyone got a copy for Christmas. The IT department burnt copies for everybody.
Oh, that's so sweet of them.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. The gift that keeps on giving.
Given diarrhea.
But along with this Star Wars Underworld being revisited, the game Star Wars 1313... may come back as well.
Okay. I didn't realize that there was an unfinished game called 1313.
Yeah, 1313 had tons of concept art and mm-hmm. stuff done. It was pretty far along, but when Disney bought it, they kind of shelved it.
Oh, gotcha.
1313 talks about Coruscant. There's different levels, mm-hmm. and 1313 is like one of the worst levels on Coruscant. Because it's kind of like, imagine like an onion, like layers,
mm-hmm.
and that's the 1313th level, and you were supposed to, I don't know if you were supposed to be Boba Fett or something down there, but like you deal with like the lower levels of Coruscant,
mm-hmm.
and it looks awesome, I'm going to be honest. If you can find, look up Star Wars 1313, looks fantastic. I think it would have been a great game, simply because unlike Battlefront, which is tied into the movie so hard, like this would be able to kind of broaden that scope a little bit, like we talked about,
with Underworld. You know, with a Star Wars game, with anything coming up with Star Wars, I really like looking to the future. Ever since, you know, the original Star Wars, everything has been mined from the past. All of the video games, all of the new prequel movies, all of these TV shows have all been mined from the past material, because there's so much that you can do in the past where you don't have to mess up the future for Han and Leia. And obviously, they're probably just like, no, 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 do what you want in the past. We're going to save the future for the future. So I'm looking forward to see all this new stuff. You know, it's cool seeing what it was like to be a Jedi way back in the day, with there's hundreds of Jedis all over the place, councils, all that kind of stuff. But I really like the grounded future, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm saying is I'd love to see a game based in the future.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, Star Wars, do your thing, make us happy and make your money.
Just a couple more days, man.
Yeah, if only it was here already.
Yeah, you know, I love it when people write into the show that, you know, tell us what they've been thinking about the superhero landscape, and I want to I specifically like hearing about people's plans for seeing the movie. I want to know how your movie experience went, you know. How early did you wait in line? All of that type of stuff. Did you have a good seat? You know, I'm just a nerd for that type of stuff.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because we actually have an update from one of our listeners, James Mintier.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote in a big email. I love it. I love when you guys write in. This is awesome. He talks about Star Wars, and he's seen it at 7 o'clock in 2D.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, and he says he'll probably buy another ticket for the 10 o'clock 3D and watch it again.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, I've been hearing this from several people, and it sounds like it's not just me. And with the email coming in, it sounds like we're getting more confirmation. It seems like a lot of people are opting for 2D, but not totally shunning the 3D. They're like, I'll get around to the 3D, but I really want to experience Star Wars in 2D, like how I originally saw it. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think 2D is an awesome... And the Star Wars 3D looks subtle, kind of like how the Avengers were. Mm-hmm. It's not throwing things in your face, which I want to talk about something else here in a moment. But I just want Jim know that I don't think I won the comic book Star Wars raffle.
After all those tickets you bought and how many times you go into that comic book store?
Yeah, so I go in there all the time. And then again, it's I give money to the comic book store anyway. I support them. They're awesome people. So I'm not to use Mike's phrase, butthurt over it. but at the same time, like, the one thing that does irritate me is the contest wasn't until November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they extended it to the 11th, which kind of pisses me off because it's like 12 extra days. Mm-hmm. 11 extra days. I'm like, why can't you just draw one then and then draw another one from your secondary thing? Because we, you know, why do we get punished for following the rules?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not mad, but I'm just like, you know, just if I didn't win it, that's fine. I'll go see it once and go home. But like that, the changing a contest date by 11 days is kind of rough on everybody.
I don't know. Kind of sounds like you're a little butthurt.
I'm not quite, because I'm still going to go to the comic book store. I'm still going to go watch it. I still going to see it earlier than those guys do, so fuck them.
Well, we'll compromise. your butt's sore.
Yes. I'm contemplating it, yeah. But thanks for writing that in, Jim. And we might bring some stuff up more on you later. But I really want to get into something else that dropped huge on us this week.
Oh, yeah. This was a big deal, especially for this podcast.
X-Men Apocalypse trailer, the first one.
Yeah, we knew this was coming. This wasn't a surprise, but it did come in at the end of the week. I was kind of expecting maybe next week we would get this. So this kind of shuffled in towards the end of the week, and we got to get our first look at Apocalypse.
So,
well, yeah, the movie.
Exactly, and we watched the leaked footage from Comic-Con in, July.
It was really bad leaked footage. It wasn't like the full trailer either. It was just like a little chunk.
They didn't repeat a lot of it, and I applaud them for that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do hardly anything from that made it to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest, I'm not impressed as I hoped I would be for this movie.
Yeah, so this is the thing I've been waiting to jump into to talk about this trailer. So when I watch it, and when the trailer ended for the first time, I felt like I didn't take away anything. You know, we've gotten lots of concept art. We kind of know the general idea of the story. We've seen Apocalypse in official released images. You know, we know Psylocke's in it. We kind of know that he takes horsemen. You know, we know all of these plots, and we know who the horsemen are going to be. I felt like we really didn't get a whole lot of reveals there. I mean, it's funny because, you know, we talked about how we thought maybe the Batman vs. Superman trailer revealed too much, but people can't use that on my opinion with this trailer, because it's not I'm not saying I wanted more. It's just like the tone wasn't there. But then I did my due diligence and I did my research. I went back the best analog we have to compare this movie to is Days of Future Past. Same director, was it last year or 2 years ago?
It was 2 years.
2 years ago, you know, it's pretty much the similar casting. It's all Bryan Singer's universe. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch the Days of Future Past trailers, because I love Days of Future Past. So I watched the first trailer for that movie, and same vibe. You get the exact same vibe. It's very somber. It's very dour. You know, you get lots of emotional monologuing at the beginning, and then you get some montages of action towards the end. And I was just like, okay, well, maybe it's just the first trailer. Maybe, what do we have to look forward to with the second Apocalypse trailer? So I go watch the second trailer for Days of Future Past. Kind of more of the same. You know, we get a little bit more mutant powers and fighting, but it's still very very sour. It's very somber, very melodramatic. So I was just like, okay, I guess I'll go to the third trailer. Maybe there'll be something there. And the third trailer of Days of Future Past is where we finally get to have some fun. The music changes. Mm-hmm. It actually looks like it's trying to draw people into the theater with some fun. Like, so that's what I'm trying to say is, like, this is just not the best trailer for the type of film that we're going to be getting. I can trust Bryan Singer, but I can't trust the trailer.
So I think you brought up a lot of good points here.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't forgive it for several things. Number one, it is the biggest competition year ever for comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
Apocalypse should bring an A-game at the beginning of its trailer.
Yeah, they did not come out swinging.
Because, I mean, they may have Deadpool in their court, but Batman and then Civil War, like, you got to beat those two and make sure people come to you on the... Because you're technically the fourth movie of the year in the same month as Captain America. But I'm going to pull up something you always bring up. The graphics in this suck. I do not appreciate the clouds behind Apocalypse and the blatant... people are throwing things at the screen 3D effects.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of seemed like more of a, I guess, glamour shots of the horseman characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Angel comes down and he's throwing the fletchets at us, I'm like, that is just, no. Just stop, man.
Yeah, it's always kind of weird because when you try to judge that type of stuff from the first trailer, it's like it feels like it could go either way. You can either tell yourself that, like, oh, this is just the wrong path they're going down. Like, even if they try to make this better, it's not going to look any better. Or you can kind of convince yourself, like, oh, this movie still has a year to come out. Like, they're working on these special effects up until, like, they ship the movie out. So, like, I could see it getting better. But, yeah, if there's some things that you just can't imagine a couple more layers of polish making it better, that's, you know, you can't really excuse it.
Yeah, it was just something was very, very off. I think it might be all, I mean, this is from the filmmaker, a lot of close-up shots and never any full-body shots of hardly anybody.
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's kind of two things that are battling against X-Men right here. So the first one is this trailer in general just didn't hype me up. It didn't get me excited. It was just a weird tone for it. It doesn't get me hyped. It doesn't get me hyped for a superhero action film. But at the same time, I'm kind of glad we get something a little different. They can't just do everything exactly the same. I get that. So I'm not gonna ding them too much on that. But also, we have a big problem here, which is X-Men is the... pretty much the longest running kind of
this
modern...
is the ninth movie in
yeah
the
this
franchise.
This is the longest running modern superhero franchise. None of these characters are new to us. I mean, we might see a different actor playing Charles Xavier, but yeah, they revealed him being bald at the end of the movie, but it's like we've already had tons of movie with a bald Charles Xavier. This isn't that big of a deal for me. You know, we've technically seen a younger Jean Grey, a little bit younger, and another different actress.
Psylocke and Jubilee, I say, are the two newest. Even though they quote unquote appeared, they got maybe a second of screen time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think what would have been awesome if we got like a full head to toe look at Psylocke kicking ass in her costume. I hope we get that in trailer two, because that's what we really need to see. We need to see things we haven't seen before. And we just didn't get any of that. But what we did get a lot of that we didn't need is we got a lot of Jennifer Lawrence. And I'm thinking...
as a human, not in her blue outfit.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, honestly, I'm really thinking, and I'm hoping it's just the trailer. You know, trailers are meant to sell the movie. You know, all the posters are probably going to try to get Jennifer Lawrence towards the front of the poster because she's popular, she's top billing. And I'm hoping that's just what they're doing for the trailer. I hope her role is... just toned way more down in the movie, because I don't think we necessarily need that much of her in this movie.
Well, I think she takes the Hugh Jackman role in this one simply because he's not in it. And they need that. I mean, Hugh Jackman was the front runner for Days of Future Past. He pulled that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she'll be the one for this on top of that. But honestly, I wasn't appalled by Apocalypse look in this one. He didn't have that purple Ivan Ooze look. Mm-hmm. Going on, and that could have been lighting on that scene, but you know, whatever. Two, I actually enjoyed a bald Xavier at the end simply because this tells us how he gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And three, the poster is my favorite part.
Yeah, the poster was the most interesting part with Apocalypse holding that skull
and crushing it, and it's got that blue tone, the weird face, like you can see the technology, like the ancient technology meshing with his body, like. I really love the poster, and I hope you guys do too.
Yeah, but I think in summation, I don't think that this is going to be a bad movie. I still 100% want to see this movie. I just think the trailer was a misstep. I think they could have made other decisions in the trailer to make me more excited. I just wanted to see more of what I haven't seen before.
I think we need a highlight reel for each mutant in the next trailer. I want to see powers and abilities rather than bridges collapsing like we saw in X3.
Yeah. You know, you actually get that in the second trailer of Days of Future Past. You start to see Iceman and people catching on fire and stuff like that. So I'm holding out for trailer 2, but honestly, we might not get anything really kind of amazing until trailer 3. But this movie is going to be different. They're probably trying to stand out, but either way, I can't imagine too many people were super stoked after this trailer.
Of the three Batman vs. Superman, Civil War, and Apocalypse trailers, this was my least favorite.
Yeah.
But I'm going to see it. I want to see more X-Men movies. Again, we'll have Deadpool under our belt, and then this one. So I look forward to it.
Yeah, you know, if Bryan Singer happens to come across this episode, we are looking forward to your movie, man. I just have him cut your trailers better. We know you're going to have good stuff in there. Just have him cut your trailer better.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. Let's jump into something else. I always say that.
What do we got?
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ooh, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
They hired writers.
Oh, okay.
Andrew Barrer and Gabriel Ferrari are to write the first draft. They actually worked on the first movie, but did not get credits because their changes were so small and spread out that they didn't get credits. But they actually worked on the first one. Great.
Well, yeah, I'm glad. It sounds like they're getting what's due. They put in the work.
Yeah, they cut their teeth on the first one there.
Yeah, what phrase am I looking for here?
Did their due diligence?
Yeah, due diligence. There we go.
There we go. And Adam McKay and Paul Rudd will help also with the broad strokes of the film.
Okay.
So they're not out. It sounds like a similar crew coming back. So I'm excited to see what it does.
Did you happen to see the Honest trailer for Ant-Man?
I did, yes. because I bought an Antony pop vinyl and the Ant-Man movie this week. And then I watched that as well.
Looking back at the movie, has your opinion changed? Have you watched it since then? I'm kind of curious how this movie ages on people.
So I'm going to be, I haven't watched it yet. I worked a lot on our commercial this week. This is probably the Marvel movie I've seen the least.
Oh, okay.
You saw it in theaters more times than I did.
that was only twice.
Yeah. And I saw it once, but I mean, a lot of it sticks with me. It's in my head. I think that says a lot about it, that it holds up with me. But again, the Honest Trailer did point out something we said. It's a lot like Iron Man.
Yeah. I mean, I have a really strong feeling that Ant-Man is going to be on a lot of holiday flights. It's going to be in a lot of plane in flight movies. So I think a lot of people are going to get a second chance or third chance to see this movie on their flight home for the holidays. So it just feels like that type of movie that we're going to be seeing on the back of someone's headrest.
Yeah. So, I mean, which brings me to my point again, that Ant-Man is available for deep purchase on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Kind of a PSA kind of deal.
Yeah. Look for that subatomic level. Try to see if you can spot out the Wasp.
I think you can get it for $18.99 Blu-ray DVD combo or Blu-ray digital 3D combo at like Target or something. I got it at Target, but I price matched Best Buy. So that's how I did it. Ant-Man, I mean, if you really want to watch a Christmas Marvel movie, Iron Man 3 set at Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Probably because I try my best to forget about that movie.
Oh, come on. We watched that together. We saw that in a theater after a whole full day of watching the whole cinematic universe up to that point.
And, you know, and you helped me make it as special as you could.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. That was a good time, actually. But yeah, Ant-Man, go buy it. Love it. Add it to your collection. Along with that, the Phase 2 box set is now officially purchased if you have not bought any Phase 2 movies.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's wrapped under some Christmas trees right now.
Yes. I only know one person who bought it. I didn't indirectly, but I'm pretty jelly, actually.
You're pretty grape.
Pretty jam. But Black Panther is our next topic for the day.
Is Black Panther your jam?
No, he's not my jam.
Oh, okay.
He might be jelly, though. Ryan Coogler is in talks to direct the film. And we mentioned this before. This is his name came up along with the person who did the NWA documentary. I forget. Straight out of Compton. But Ryan Coogler is now in talks to direct. He directed the movie Creed, which recently came out. Been getting great reviews, I've heard. And then he also did a movie called Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, I believe that was nominated for an Oscar, too.
Yeah, I mean, Creed's sitting at 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Creed. I haven't got around to seeing it. I don't know if people are gonna like be shocked and in awe. I've never seen a single Rocky movie. I understand that makes two of us. Yeah, I mean, I understand the premise. You know, I have no disrespect for it or anything. It's just something I never got around to watching growing up. But I've heard that you can go in and watch Creed without knowing anything about the Rocky movies, so that's good. I've heard good things about the movie. I think this is great. He sounds like he's a great director, and I'd love to see him take on Black Panther.
Yeah, Fruitvale also sits at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's just pretty awesome. And both star Michael B. Jordan, who we know starred in the ill-fated Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy. But, I mean, if they can bring him into the Black Panther films, even better. I think this would be a great, bringing Ryan Coogler in would be awesome. I think the split from Marvel Studios, now reporting directly to Disney, will give us more creative freedom in our films.
Yeah, I'm sure Ryan Coogler wants that Disney Marvel money. Everybody in Hollywood wants that Disney Marvel money right now.
Unless you're Ava DuVernay, the director who turned down Black Panther. So,
Oh, well.
You like Thor the Dark World?
You know what? I'm excited for Thor the Dark World.
All right. Well, Thor... Actually, it's not the Dark World. It's Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like, I'm not excited for it. I already saw it.
Yeah, so it's pretty good. It's all right. It's not the worst. I don't think it's the worst movie. Cate Blanchett is in talks to act in Thor Ragnarok.
All right. I wonder what she's going to end up being.
So we know Cate Blanchett playing the elves in the Hobbit, Lord of the Rings movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Galadriel, I think it was. I think she's going to play either Hel or the Norn.
Okay.
Maybe a Valkyrie. But I don't know. I don't see her being a Valkyrie. She's not big enough. She's commanding. She has a commanding presence.
It sounds like you don't expect her to be a human.
Correct. I don't expect any of this to take place on Earth.
Yeah, you know, yeah. who plays like the research assistant for Natalie Portman? She's in like Two Broke Girls.
Darcy. Yeah, is her character's name.
I don't. Either way, I gotta get her in this movie. She's hilarious. I love her.
If Bruce Banner takes that place as the comedic relief sidekick?
You know what? I suppose that's okay. You know what I really want? I just want Natalie Portman out of this franchise. Like, I just don't think she fits well in it. Like, nothing against Natalie Portman. She doesn't sit well in this Marvel universe.
Oh, Sitwell's another Marvel character. I agree with you. I think Natalie Portman, like, she was okay in the first one, not okay in the second one. I think the third one needs to just say she's off somewhere else.
Yeah, you know what? The Marvel universe, they're getting close to the end of their third phase, and I think
they're just starting their third phase. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, when they get close to the end of the third phase, I'm sure they're going to be legitimately killing off characters. Let's start and warm up with her. You know, let's just let the audience get a feeling for what it's like to lose a major character and have her never come back.
I tell you what, the Wrath of Thor is not something you'd probably want to incur. I would enjoy him going on this wanton destruction rampage afterwards. But either way, Cate Blanchett playing Hel would be awesome. I think she can channel that inner darkness to be the Lord of Hel. Mm-hmm. Or Hela, I guess, the Lord of Hell. The Norn is interesting because, you know, the Norn stones were kind of brought up in Age of Ultron in a deleted scene when he goes into the pool of water.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of cut that out a little bit. Norn are interesting, as you can see, they're Earthsmite's heroes. And then maybe leader of the Valkyries, could see her. She's blonde, she's tall, she could fit that role as well. So something non-human, something that expands the Thor mythology even more.
Either way, we got another person in Hollywood that wants that Marvel Disney money.
That's right, and let her have it. I'll give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Doctor Strange yet?
You know what? I want to see me some Doctor Strange.
Well, hey, how about this concept art I'm going to throw your way?
Yeah, I was excited when I saw those.
The first official concept art for Doctor Strange was released with a Phase 2 behind the scenes.
Yeah, this is good. This means things are really rolling. I mean, we know they're starting the film. And we've got some like paparazzi type set footage, but I love seeing this concept art roll out because Doctor Strange is such a different type of movie for Marvel. We got this mystical side of things. I kind of want to start to get the feeling for what it's going to look like. So I want to see more concept art roll out for sure.
Yeah, so I think this is the same concept art they showed back at, like, D23 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it shows Benedict Cumberbatch kind of drawn up in the Sorcerer Supreme outfit. It's got the cape with the high collar, the blue outfit, and then kind of moving his hand around in some sort of like mystical yellow, blue, and greens going on. I really like the color palette on this. I think it's a great color palette. We don't need to go dark, but we don't need to go bright colors. And I really like this concept art. I'm really excited to see more of this. That's not just you know, leaked set photos.
Yeah, exactly.
When do you think we're gonna get our first trailer for it?
Oh God, when does this movie come out again?
November 10th.
November 10th. You think maybe they'll try to attach it to Civil War?
May, June, July, August, September, October, November. That's the same amount of time the first Civil War trailer is to release than that is to release. So yes.
Yeah. So probably a teaser.
I give it a teaser.
Yeah, I think a teaser would work. I think Marvel likes that synergy of things in front of other things.
Well, they, I mean, this is the longest they're going between movies ever. Mm-hmm. Since Hulk to Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 2. There, but, I mean, yeah, so, I mean, it's a long wait, so they need to keep people motivated to go, and I think that'll do it. So I'm excited for it. Let's see some of that Doctor Strange.
Yeah, give me some of that Strange.
Oh, you just I knew you were going to say that. Well, speaking of Civil War, the other Marvel movie next year.
Yeah, what's going on with Civil War? I'm surprised we have news.
So a little bit of the interview with the directors kind of went on. This is with the Phase 2 box set we talked about. Spider-Man was always plan A for the script.
Oh, that's interesting.
And Marvel told the directors, you know, we may not be able to do this. Make a plan B. But Spider-Man was always included to be the plan A.
Oh, that's awesome. That makes me really excited because I basically have a feeling that Spider-Man is not going to be a really intricate part into the film. I feel like, because it seems like they've described his role as more of like a cameo almost, like from what I've heard. So I don't really know how they're going to incorporate him, but I'm glad that it doesn't seem like he's getting shoehorned in just because they managed to snag those rights. Yeah. So it sounds like he's really meant to be in the story, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm totally excited to see kind of what he looks like, because that brings me to my next point. The Spider-Man outfit may have some effects on his suit, because they won't show him off until the final effects are done.
Okay.
And the description is that it's a bit of old, it's a bit of new, something people won't really, something people haven't seen before. But it won't be strange. And it kind of brings me to maybe not quite an Iron Spider, but a Spider-Man suit with tech built into it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, you know, I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with these mechanical web shooters. You know, I thought that was actually one of the few things that I really liked about the reboot of Spider-Man, that they gave him mechanical web shooters. But they never really did the due diligence of explaining how Peter Parker got a hold of it, or how he was using basically Osborn tech to shoot web. I don't know. It was a little confusing.
It goes back to his dad's storyline.
Yeah.
Honestly, those movies, like the first one had a lot of potential, but it was meh. Second one, just, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was kind of funny, somewhat related. This weekend, my wife and I were watching 500 Days of Summer, which is a really good indie film. It kind of basically skyrocketed Joseph Gordon-Levitt's career just from TV shows into...
And what's her name?
Yeah, Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
I was watching that, and I was just like, man, you know, this movie's really, really fun, you know, who directed this movie? And then just before I got out my phone to look it up, I was like, oh, that's right, it was Mark Webb, the guy that destroyed the Spider-Man movies for me. It's like, God damn it.
See, I was the other way. I don't care for that movie too much. And
oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe he can do good in Spider-Man because it's opposite, but no.
No, he needs to stick to what he's good at. And I actually started creeping on his future projects, and it looks like he might be leaning back that way. But yeah, I think that guy might have had a chance if Sony kept his grubby little hands off the production. But also, he had this deck stacked against him with the time frame he was working with. And I don't know.
Nobody
won. Either way, Iron Spider speculation begins, huh?
Yes, that's what I'm going to say, because people like to think the Iron Spider is going to show up. A new Iron Spider pop vinyl just landed. And you people will start drawing lines out of nowhere.
I imagine more of Iron Spider as something you throw on Spidey maybe for the Infinity War to get him souped up. I don't really imagine his first outing in the Marvel Universe is going to be Iron Spider.
I don't think Iron Spider is the way to go with him. I think just build more tech into his suit.
Yeah.
But don't make him Iron Man with spider limbs.
Well, and if you think about it, like, pretty much every Spider-Man has had probably some sort of CG stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it.
Except for Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah?
I like that outfit.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Yeah. Either way, I want to jump into something we don't talk about. Civil War II, the comics.
Comic books. Okay.
All right. I just want to say it's been announced. It'll probably come out with the movie written by Brian Michael Bendis, who you brought up last week.
Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure I called him Michael Brian Bendis.
You did call him Michael Brian
Bendis. I always get his name mixed around.
He's writing Civil War II, the comic books, which takes place in the new comic universe. And he's currently writing Iron Man. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just something interesting. I'm not as excited for it as I am the old one. But
it's just Marvel up to its old tricks again. They're just, I mean, if you think about it, we complain about Hollywood rebooting movies and franchises. Marvel's been rebooting its comic book storylines over and over again. They don't give a shit.
Well, no, see, Marvel has the same continuity. Like, what happened in the 60s still happened.
Well, yeah, but they're still basically
rehashing.
Yeah, they're using
rebooting.
They're using the same name.
Yeah,
and, I mean, and they're making it in conjunction with the movie coming out, so they're not stupid.
They approached the actual original writer Mark Millar to write it, but he turned it down.
Yeah, probably because he's like, I already wrote a good Civil War. Why do you want to make another one?
Yeah, Civil War II in the comic, it's going to be interesting because Bendis is kind of burnt out on me. He was great in the beginning. He wrote Powers and Jessica Jones, right? Mm. Great things that are being translated to the thing, but I just think. Get him out of there. Like, give him a year off. Let him go to Tahiti and take a vacation.
Yeah, or maybe have him just do like a weird, just independent story, just unrelated to Marvel.
He does. He actually does a lot of independent comics on his own. He owns his own stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Either way, they don't have any good talent in Marvel coming up that I am salivating for. So
I think you need to get your pen out and start writing a comic book.
Yeah, I probably do. It probably wouldn't be funny. Well, in that case, since Brian Michael Bendis wrote Jessica Jones, let's talk a little bit about Marvel's Iron Fist.
Ooh, Iron Fist. We're finally getting some news. All you speculators out there thinking we're not going to get an Iron Fist show, we're getting an Iron Fist show.
That's right. We have confirmation that Scott Buck will be the showrunner for Iron Fist for Marvel and Netflix.
Yes, and if that makes you a little bit worried, you're not alone, because he is attached to 50% of a really good show and 50% of a really bad show, and it's the exact same show. It's called Dexter.
So he's an executive producer of Dexter, starting with season 2 all the way through the end. Mm-hmm. So I will give him this, that he will stay with anything and he won't jump ship even when something's going bad.
That's how you're going to look at it.
But I also don't know how much an executive producer does, because Stan Lee is technically an executive producer for every Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell does he do?
Yeah.
He just shows up, does a scene, walks out. But he also was a producer on Rome and Six Feet Under, two other shows that I hear really good things about.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has the talent and the skill to rein in a show as a showrunner, which is good. Basically, I just want to make sure that the decisions that he made in the last couple seasons of Dexter basically weren't his decisions. I hope maybe he just, like, checked out and had someone else do that stuff, because those last seasons of Dexter are kind of unforgivable, especially the series finale. But who knows, maybe that was just because the show went on way longer than it needed to. I'm optimistic.
He actually was a writer for the second season of Dexter only.
Mm-hmm.
And won nominated for Writers Guild Awards for Best Dramatic Series for his work on that show. So, I mean, the stuff he's known for is, you know, the good stuff.
Yeah.
As for other things, you know, 6 Feet Under, he wrote some 6 Feet Under episodes, some Rome episodes. But, I mean, I don't know what an executive producer does. Maybe then just be like, goes, hey, what's up? Here's some money.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some return back. On top of that, we have a first synopsis of the show as well.
Yeah, it's real. Once we get the synopsis, there's no turning back.
Yes, so I'm going to read it for you.
All right.
Returning to New York City after being missing for years, Daniel Rand fights against a criminal element corrupting New York City with his incredible kung fu mastery and ability to summon the awesome power of the fiery Iron Fist.
Mm.
Marvel's Iron Fist is the fourth series of a part of an overall deal between Marvel and Netflix, which has already released the critically acclaimed first seasons of Daredevil and Jessica Jones, with Luke Cage premiering in 2016. And all four heroes within unite and Marvel's Defenders. So,
ooh. I thought it was kind of cool that they pointed out that the criminal element in New York City, it seems like they're kind of distancing themselves from trying to fence them off into Hell's Kitchen. They're going to bring all of New York into the landscape, which is cool.
Yeah, so, again, this is something I've heard a lot of people want Danny Rand to be, you know, cast of Asian descent. And I'm like, Marvel has that character. He's called Shang-Chi, who has actually fought Danny Rand, Iron Fist, in the comics to a standstill. Like, they're both, they fight each other pretty much when they do fight to an exact standstill. Mm-hmm. So I think Danny Rand needs to be, stick to his comic origin with a white male who does martial arts. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to see who they cast and what else is under the way. Cause I'm excited. Like, we're getting to that point. Defenders is right around the corner, man.
Yeah.
Like, we can't turn back now.
Yeah. Either way with the casting, I don't think it really matters. I think a lot of people that are even watching the Netflix series probably don't even, really identify with Danny Rand or what he should look like or anything like that. So I don't think it really matters how they end up casting him, but either way, it sounds awesome. I'm super excited for a kung fu show. You know, Jessica Jones is our detective show. Daredevil was kind of like our I guess justice. It was our
Batman show.
Yeah, it was kind of our Batman show, but like, I'm excited for some kung fu, man.
Yeah, I can see them doing a whole episode like based on the raid.
Mm-hmm.
Like just fighting, no dialogue for the whole episode.
That would be sweet. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm glad it's finally rolling.
Yes, sign us up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Marvel Defenders, some news on that.
Mm-hmm.
Will be extremely difficult to put them in the Infinity War.
Who said that?
Someone high up at Marvel.
Well, okay.
I think it was the Russo brothers, the directors of Civil War and the Infinity Wars. Simply because Marvel Studios and Marvel Television are two entirely different entities.
Yeah, and plus they work on totally different schedules.
Yeah, so, I mean, we may get to see some reference to them in the cinematic universe, but I think at the end of the day, we will see three different levels of Marvel operating. Mm-hmm. We will see Marvel Studios in the movies, Marvel Netflix series, and Marvel Television, such as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. Mm-hmm. They will all exist in the same universe, but they probably won't touch nearly as much as we want them to.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I think it's kind of one of those things where you would love to see all of their franchises in one film, but at the same time, it's like, it's a hassle to do that. You know, you can't really make any one character shine, and it's kind of hard to connect emotionally if you have all of these people in there. So it's kind of like, I'd love to see it, but, you know, maybe they're just like, you do get to see it. You just have to watch it at different times.
Yeah.
On different screens.
Yeah. I mean, we all dream of the ultimate team up, the ultimate battles where everyone's on the same screen or in the same movie, right? But, I mean, I think we should be thankful we're getting this as it is now. We wouldn't ever think several years ago that television and movies could exist in the same space.
Yeah. You know, maybe it'll be a little bit easier to do something like maybe have Charlie Cox on the set of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that. Maybe get like just how they bring on Sif from Thor, right. Like bring in like Daredevil. That would be amazing. That would be super cool. Daredevil along the side of maybe a couple Inhumans in New York. I think we could do that. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and that's definitely on the television schedule as well. Mm-hmm. Marvel Entertainment, I guess. But yeah, so I just don't think we should get our hopes up. We'll see them in Infinity War, but maybe reference them along the way.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those things where it's just like the audience doesn't know what it wants.
Yeah.
I mean, we want them all in the one movie, but honestly, not even the best director on the planet probably couldn't make it work.
And if they got them in the movie, we would never get their TV shows.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's one or the other, and I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
So Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, I want to throw this out there. You're going to agree with me, you're going to not agree with me, I don't care. But the movie's production designer, Patrick Tatopoulos, said that Doomsday, is an evolution, essentially.
Okay.
So we will see maybe a different version of Doomsday in the movie, but officially calling him Doomsday, and we're gonna wait till the movie comes out. I'm not gonna hold that against you, but I just thought this was funny, and that Doomsday isn't just the final act.
Oh well, that's good. That's good to know.
He's doing some crowd control or something, but I just wanted to throw that out there because I read that today, and I'm like, that's worth mentioning.
Okay, that's good to know, because I started to get a strong feeling that what we've been seeing in these Batman-Superman trailers was, like, the third act fight, and I was like, I don't want to be seeing that, like, so clearly. So that'd be cool if this was just kind of, like, the middle of the movie, and we're seeing Doomsday roll out.
But then I guess how much of that is Batman versus Superman fighting if that's the middle?
Yeah, maybe Doomsday just gets in the way of their fight. Maybe they both fight them together and they get back to fighting like two cats getting interrupted by a dog or something like that.
Two cats getting interrupted by a third cat.
Yeah, but I could see maybe the evolutionary angle type deal. Like maybe they beat up Doomsday. Maybe Superman like throws him into orbit or something off the planet because he's Superman. And then Doomsday lands somewhere, knocked unconscious, and evolves into the real Doomsday that can like talk and has like a beard and shit.
yeah so Doomsday in the comics is like he dies and like is reborn and evolves, like whatever kills him he can't be killed by again, so that's definitely something that they could definitely bring into it. But I just wanted to throw that bit of news out there just to,
yeah, it sounds like I might be owing you some Star Wars toys.
Well,
as I bet.
I just wanted to throw some fuel on that fire there, but
it's not looking good in my favor.
No, let's talk Batman movie.
Okay.
Batman solo movie, it's inevitable, right? I assume we'll probably get three with Ben Affleck. But at least Batman solo movie, Will Smith is rumored to return as Deadshot.
That would be kind of cool. It makes sense. You're setting up a super villain movie. We might as well take these villains and put them in movies alone. I don't imagine Deadshot would be the main villain. I don't think he's even the main villain in much big Batman stories.
I know the prequel Arkham game, he is the main villain, and they like to use him an awful lot in Arrow from what I've seen. I think Will Smith is another big name actor, and to see a Deadshot versus Batman movie would be kind of interesting. It could be a prequel before Suicide Squad, or it could be afterwards. I don't know, but
I more imagine seeing Deadshot maybe teaming up with another villain. Just because when you think Deadshot, you know, it's just a really good guy with a gun fighting Batman. That seems more like a 20-minute episode.
every Batman movie has two villains, if you think of it.
Yeah, that's true.
They have to be somebody else, but Will Smith being one of those two is I think a good direction.
Yeah, maybe pair him up with the Riddler or something.
Oh, a good Riddler would be fantastic to see. So yeah, that's cool. I'd like to see that. What about Justice League? You ready for it?
Okay, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the movie, right?
Yes, the movie.
Okay.
All right, so it's apparently the movie Justice League has 6 months of pre-production and 6 months of filming starting next year.
Ooh, okay. So we're expecting
year for that movie. Yeah, before it hits editing.
Getting some, I guess maybe we could be talking about set photos here, maybe in like episode 80 of a Superhero Slate.
Yeah, when we double down, we'll have some set photos. But 6 months pre-production is quite a big lot of pre-production, but I guess they have a lot going on here.
Yeah, man, they got a lot of shit that they got to do. So they're jumping right into their Avengers style movie.
So judging by the Superhero Slate upcoming releases webpage, to throw that out there, we have to get through Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, which is currently filming. Then we get Justice League Part 1 right away, which I actually thought there were more movies in there, but there's not.
Those aren't enough movies for you?
Well, that's three before they do a big team-up. Four if you count Man of Steel. However, the next one you have to get through, The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam.
Yeah.
Then we get Justice League Part 2.
Yeah, and then there's like supposedly, are we supposed to be getting Green Lantern in there or like Cyborg somewhere?
Green Lantern and Cyborg are actually after Justice League Part 2. They're in 2020.
Well, I mean, man, Justice League just as a real movie that's coming just seems so far off just because, like, I don't know, it's easier to imagine Infinity War because we've already had two Avengers movie. It's so hard to imagine these things. I mean, they've basically, Warner Brothers has just nailed down dates, basically. They haven't really nailed down the movies yet, so I'll wait to see what we're getting.
Well, they've nailed down up until Part 1, because they're not going to add another movie in between Wonder Woman and Part 1. If they're taking a year of production.
Yeah, I would say more between like Part 1 and Part 2 is where it's very fuzzy.
The Flash has a writer. I will say Flash is pretty good to go. Aquaman has a director, which is the next movie, so I say that's pretty good to go. Shazam has The Rock, so I feel...
Yeah, that's about it, though.
But, I mean, he's really pushing that movie, man, no matter when you see him. It's just building these characters. Like, Marvel had like five movies, five and six in between, like before they built up. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they're building these worlds really quickly. And like, if we get Justice League, we're not going to know who the Flash, Aquaman, Cyborg, and Green Lantern are by that point. I feel very well.
Yeah, they're definitely taking a different approach than Marvel, but it doesn't matter as long as they give us awesome movies. Give us some awesome movies, and I'm already looking forward to the Flash movie. So,
see, that's the one I'm the least afraid of because I love the TV show so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we want to see that big screen adaptation.
I'm like, what are you going to do to Barry? Like, this isn't my Barry. Don't give me another Barry. I'm very precious with that one. So
yeah,
I don't mean to be. Oh well. Let's talk about some of these trailers now.
Yeah, we got two more trailers to talk about, and I think this show's going to run a little long because we got some juicy trailers.
We're good. So I want to talk a little bit about one of our friends of the show and listeners, Quentin.
Mm-hmm.
Sent us a picture that was on Imgur. I actually saved this to my iPad, but didn't do anything with it, of the IMAX trailer kit being delivered to studios, or I guess theaters. So these are before Star Wars. Batman versus Superman, we've seen it. Captain America Civil War, we've seen it. Deadpool is getting another trailer. We've not seen that yet. Independence Day Resurgence, we're going to talk about. Jungle Book and Warcraft, we've seen them, didn't really care for them. But another one kind of snuck out of somewhere. TMNT, Out of the Shadows.
Oh, man. So, I'm excited. This trailer. Ooh, I'm just going to jump right in there. This trailer looks fun as hell.
So, it does. I have one. This feels like two different movies to me. Because at the beginning, it is the Avengers. There's a portal opening in the sky and these big, blocky looking, like, I guess kind of like, they look like they came out of the movie Pixels.
Yeah, ships. I can see that, yeah.
But at the end of it, the second half of the trailer is more of them in their van and the introduction of Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh, man. Like, we don't really have to, like, jump in depth with this because I think, though, the one thing that these movies don't have is depth because we don't really need it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just fun. Out of all the trailers we saw this week, this was the one I had the most fun. This is the one that got me most excited to see the movie. You know, I think we might be preparing ourselves for a Turtle franchise that we're actually all really going to enjoy. You just got to go into these movies knowing what to expect. They're just fun. These are definitely meant for younger kids that, you know, we can go in and just have a good time. I mean, turtles talking slang. We got other animals.
Oh, Arrow. We have Arrow.
Yeah, we got Steve Amell being Casey Jones. We got some Megan Fox midriff, which is always fun and welcomed. So this movie just looks like fun. They did exactly what X-Men Apocalypse didn't do, which was cut a fun trailer. So I'm excited. I think everyone should go out and watch this trailer. You'll have a good time.
Yeah,
good music. Good music.
It's definitely in our show notes. The only thing I don't know about is those ships coming out of the portal in the sky, because the rest of the movie feels great, and then I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, I have no idea what that
Why
is
it starting on this destruction and a portal? Like, a lot of people are saying, oh, it has to be Krang. I'm like, it doesn't have to be anybody. It's the turtles.
Yeah,
they'll do what they want. But I you're right. It's fun. It's upbeat. It's energetic. I looked at it a little bit, and I'm like, okay, the beginning's a little weird, but it picks right back into it.
Yeah, it looks fun. You know what? You know, go watch the Turtles that came out, was it last year, a year before? I can't remember. The last 2 years are a blur.
It so had to have been like 2014, I assume.
Either way, just go appreciate kind of the interesting decisions that they made in that first film. You'll have a fun time. Just stick with it, and I don't know, just get a couple snacks, get some pizza going, you'll have a fun time.
You gotta eat pizza with it, man. That's what the turtles do.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about another trailer that just leaked right before we started recording.
Our last trailer,
Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah, man.
So this is a sequel to ID4, which we still don't know why it's called ID4. We just kind of want to bring that up. That was our conversation beforehand. This picks up 20 years later after the first one, or 17 years, or however long it was. And the aliens are coming back, and Jeff Goldblum is the only man who can stop them. Again.
this was a fun trailer to go into, just because I just had no idea what they were doing. Independence Day, you know, when it came out, was just a fun popcorn action movie. You know, Roland Emmerich, you know, is really, really good at making those perfect kind of summer movies. Like, when you see a Roland Emmerich movie, you know it feels like a summer film.
The world is ending and no one's going to make it out alive.
Yeah, whether it's a good film or not, you know it's a Roland Emmerich film just by the vibe of it. You know, when the original Independence Day came out, Will Smith was he was on the rise. He was getting huge, coming off of Fresh Prince and Bad Boys. You know, and the first Independence Day isn't this precious little cinematic gem. It's just a fun action movie. So when you kind of roll into this trailer, you just confused, like, how are they going to do this so much later into history? So what did you think about this trailer?
Honestly, I am more excited for it than I thought I would be. they mentioned a couple things, that they took the alien technology and built it into their human technology.
Mm-hmm.
That makes logical. That actually feels pretty logical for them. What does confuse me is, like, it seems to be a ship the size of the Earth, an alien ship mm-hmm. the size of the Earth, crashing down into Earth or something. I don't know. It's huge. We don't have Randy Quaid to fly into it on this one. But I don't know. I'm more excited than I was. And Will Smith is not in this. He has apparently died in this universe.
Yeah.
And they worked that out. I think his son will be a big part of it.
Yeah. But yeah, this just looks, this looks fun. Very interesting. I want to see
more. I like Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Bill Paxton with that white beard. He looks
killer. That's not Bill Paxton, is it?
I don't remember his name.
Bill Pullman.
You were close.
Yeah. Close enough.
BP.
Yeah, and Liam, and the other, the not Thor, Hemsworth.
Yeah, Thor Jr.
Yeah, so I don't know. It looks fun. Watch it. Yeah. Tell us what you think. I think this is, again, it's going to be one of those Earth is going to blow up kind of things, yeah. And one man has to save us all.
Yeah, I mean, I can never turn down Jeff Goldblum in a movie. He's too much fun.
He is too much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So another trailer we're supposed to get, and I assume we're going to get it this week, is Star Trek Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to land with Star Wars is the official word. It won't be on the IMAX showing, apparently, but it could definitely be on a 2D or 3D version.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited to see another Star Trek movie?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious where they're going to take it. You know, a lot of people really did not like that second movie.
I am one of those.
Yeah, I was kind of lukewarm about it. I didn't think it was as good as the first one, but I thought it had some merits to it. You know, I like the cast. You know, I like the characters.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't think they were in the best story. So, but it ended with high hopes that they're going to go kind of into the beyond, into mysterious far regions of space. So I'm looking forward to that. So I think they're going to adjust. They're going to fit that tone. And they're kind of going to have to differentiate themselves from Star Wars now. You know, JJ kind of made his Star Wars beta movie with Star Trek Into Darkness. So now I think they're going to take it into someplace different. And I'm excited to see the trailer so I can kind of get an idea.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, the Star Trek movies, like, I'm glad they're breathing life back into that that whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'll see it. I'll watch it. Something I'm not sure if I'll watch is Alien Covenant.
Okay. So confusing. Just tell me what we have, because my brain just can't comprehend the timeline.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly why I put this in here. It's just to mess with you. So, Ridley Scott has confirmed that this Alien Covenant has the egg version,
mm-hmm.
the facehugger version,
mm-hmm.
the chest burster version.
Okay.
And we will finally see the alien version that we know today.
Okay.
And this is on the engineer homeworld, the big pale guys from the Prometheus.
Uh-huh.
And it's still a prequel sequel.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. Alien, it's a crazy... Science fiction's fun, so I guess I can't knock it there, but I'm just really confused.
I don't know if, given the choice... Would you want a new Alien movie or a Predator movie? Which one would you choose?
I don't know. I guess Alien, but it doesn't matter. I think we're still getting both of them.
We are getting both of them, but like, I think I could fall better into a Alien prequel trilogy than a Predator sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I think they're more interesting now that we've seen. If we're going to the Alien homeworld, is better. I'd like to see more Predator homeworld.
I mean, if I had my choice, I think they just should have made Prometheus a better movie. Because I think if Prometheus would have been a better movie, they would have had Prometheus sequels, actually named Prometheus, and then at one point in time, that would have led off into the Alien franchise. So it would have been more distinct. Okay, the prequels are called Prometheus. The the normal stuff is called Alien. It would have made more sense to me.
Maybe Prometheus was an experiment, and now they're like, all right, we know what we did wrong. Alien Covenant is going to be the best one that we can do, so let's call it Alien.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that there's going to be box sets in the future, and they're going to rename. They're going to do a Star Wars, and they're going to rename their earlier films to fit. No. It's going to be Alien : Prometheus.
God, I hope not. But yeah, that's our news for today. Again, you probably guess it's about a regular show, but
you made it to the end of the show.
This is the last show before Star Wars. Tune in next week for our Star Wars spoiler cast. Obviously, I don't know what other news could top Star Wars, so our regular show might be pretty short.
Yeah, I mean, we'll give a spoiler-free review in the normal show. But it doesn't really matter, because just make sure you're subscribed to the show. You're going to get everything nice and neatly organized and tagged into your feed. You don't have to worry about accidentally stumbling across Star Wars spoilers. You know, if you couldn't get those tickets right on time before you start listening to our show, don't worry. You know, it's going to be very, very easily avoided on our end. So, yeah, just tune in. You can get a normal episode, get the news, because we're still going to have some news. We'll find some things to talk about. And then that Star Wars spoiler cast, I have a feeling that's going to be a long one.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be high energy. I'm going to dig out my lightsaber so I can have the sounds while we do it.
Yeah, we're going to get some sound effects. We're going to get some air horns. It's going to be crazy.
Yes, but in the meantime, Mike, if maybe you happen to be working on something else Star Wars related, where could they see that at?
Well, they can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or Instagram. And you can always go read my webcomics at pickledcomics.com.
It's a good place.
Chris, if you manage to get that giant TV into your house and you post some pictures of it, where can people see that?
Oh, I'm going to put those on Twitter at Valdan, Valdan. And you can also read my other news articles on Comic UI. And we do have a Facebook and Twitter for Comic UI. My Star Wars written review will be posted there first thing Friday morning.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up this last bit of the show as quickly as possible.
Lay it on me.
Because I'm a man who has to visit the bathroom. I have to pee so bad. I've had too much liquid today. So let's wrap this up, everybody. As always, please visit superheroslate.com, where you can check out our new website. And that's where you can also find the links to all of our subscription outlets. You can find us on iTunes, soon Google Play Music, and we're also up on YouTube with awesome videos. That's also where you can catch our commercial that we just made. We're on SoundCloud. Apparently, we just made it up on Stitcher. That's just another place you can find us. How awesome is that? We're also up on Tumblr. You can subscribe with email. Get that stuff right to your inbox. Don't worry about all these other services. You got an email address. Just have it sent there. And you can also like us on Facebook and Twitter. That's the best way to follow us. If we're posting little bits of news, stuff about the show, you want to follow us there. That's where we put all that stuff. We don't bog down the website with all that kind of stuff.
I will take a picture of my special Star Wars 3D glasses on Thursday and put it on there.
Yeah, there we go, because we are stoked. And always, if you're a fan of the show, please consider going over to iTunes and leaving us a review. I guess you could probably do that on Stitcher now, too. I think that helps us over there, too.
You can leave us a review anywhere you want, man. Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, leave a review. That helps us get in front of other eyeballs and helps other people hear the gospel of Superhero Slate. And I'll end the show as I always do. If you're a super fan of the show, just share the show with a friend. We know you got friends that love superhero stuff, and you guys want to talk about the same things. You want to be up to speed, so you guys can listen to the show together, you know, and that is the gospel of Superhero Slate.
Yes, man, you do that better than anybody else.
Ooh, yeah, I've had what, like 50 episodes of practice now.
Yes, so all right, well, we will let Mike go to the bathroom, and I will catch you guys next week.
All right, Star Wars, baby, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.